Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let's do it. There is a demolition. I know it's started to come up at some of the meetings, ARB meeting that's taking place at 1182 East Lakeview Avenue. Is the Fairney Hill property, and it by right can accommodate five new lots without a subdivision plat or anything like that. Obviously, I'm disappointed to see that take place, that losing historic structures is certainly not something I'm a fan of, but just we're bringing this up really to point out that it is allowed by right. There is no legal recourse that the mayor can take or our city council can take that would prohibit this.
Yeah, this is that property. It's you might not have heard this was happening, but this is a property right there at 1182 East Lakeview and 12th Avenue. It's kind of an old-looking white house with – it kind of just looks like a large, older house, a little bit obscured by some of the vegetation. But apparently it's going to be demolished and subdivided, and there's not a dang thing we can do to stop it. Now, I have many times talked with you about historical structures and – to the degree it's possible to preserve them. And sometimes it's because they're dilapidated. I remember the old John Sunday house, and that was, you know, some people said it could be repaired. Some people said it couldn't. It eventually got, you know, torn down, and now it's turned into this, you know, big apartment complex there right behind Everman. I thought that decision made sense, partially because we have so many other, you know, things around town that honor the man. But at the same time, I agree with the mayor, and I hate the sentiment of losing a thing and having no ability to really preserve these things because there's these, again, state rules that preempt them, and it's a loss. You know, whether it's the San Carlos Hotel or some historic home, it, you know, one is not the tipping point between having a community that has a history and doesn't, but, you know, one is two is four is eight is, you know, and eventually you lose your history and you don't have a historical character to your community.
What's the old saying in urban planning, the Pensacola parking syndrome, where you knock down historic buildings to build parking lots, but then no one parks in the parking lot because there's no historic buildings to see, that we've been coined in that phrase, you know, for many years ago. So, you know, you only get historic character once.
Yeah. And, you know, you better make sure you preserve it to the degree that you can.
Listen, I think if we could rewrite history, you know, wouldn't having the San Carlos Hotel on the corner of Gardner Palafox be pretty awesome? You know, would it likely be the crown jewel of our downtown? Probably so. Now, not faulting anybody for, you know, it's empty for 20 something years. I mean, I wasn't there. I was 5 years old, but, you know, that sure would have been nice, you know, to have something like that. So,
and, you know, when you see the big federal building there, your first thought isn't necessarily, oh, I wonder what used to be there. But of course, anybody who's been here long enough, and I certainly have not, but if you've seen the pictures or you know, kind of what it used to look like, you think, oh man, what it could have been, you know? Which, if you allow historical things to be torn down and replaced with new things, a lot of times what you get is, you know, nobody knows what you missed. But if you preserve those things and then you can see what's still there, you think, oh man, that's really cool. And this was his point, is there's just nothing the city, you can't, you know, write your councilman or, you know, call your councilman or call DC and complain. Well, there's nothing he can do. There's nothing they can do. This is not waiting their permission.
So that's all. That's why I'm disappointed, is that it's what we are proud of. And so I just hate even a sliver of that, you know, losing that when it isn't necessarily required or needed, or an emergency or something like that, where it would maybe be more warranted. So very disappointed about it, but as I said, I just wanted to be clear with our public that any presumption or assumption that sits on my desk to approve or disapprove is just not the case.
So yesterday he also talked about the new park hours, which really were a patchwork quilt of bizarre. Every park was a little bit different. Now they're standardizing that the five main park areas like Admiral Mason and Martin Luther King Jr. and Community Maritime Park are going to be sunrise to 10 p.m., the Blake Doyle Skate Park and a couple of the others are, you know, they're also accommodating those because they have lights. Blake Doyle is going to go till midnight. Excuse me. That's not right. Yeah, no, that's right, till 10 p.m. And then all the rest of the parks are just going to be sunrise to sunset. And they were all different. Like, every park was different. This one was till 9. This one was till 8. This one was till 7. This one started at 5. This one started at sunup. It's crazy. This, of course, goes back to the Food Not Bombs, you know, the arrest that was made of Mike Kimbrell several months ago, anyway, where, you know, they've been feeding there for a long time, and they consider it public expression to feed because feeding is a form of expression. Anyway, they've kind of solved this now by having park hours. It will certainly accommodate them being able to do that there. I think the interesting question is going to be whether they move their operations somewhere that it would technically no longer be allowed because of the park rules. But I wouldn't expect that because Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza is the place they've done it all these years, and I would think they would stay. But we'll see. You know, time will tell. Also, crime is way down across the board in the city, which is not a surprise. We knew that was coming. It's been trending down, but, you know, good numbers, like 20% across the board, which is great. 7:15 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by the Florida West Economic Development Alliance. They work to create high-wage jobs and private capital investments that grow Escambia County's tax base. No accidents to report to you right now. Avalon Boulevard southbound heading toward I-10. Seeing about a 5-minute delay in that area. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So if you're like me, and I think in this you probably are, you think a couple of things about mattress stores, you know, bed stores. One is I never, ever want to go near one if I can avoid it. Number two is they're all basically the same. Number three is they're all out to get me. I understand. That's my perception, too. Well, the other day, I had a chance to go meet the owner, Thane Taylor, at the Sleep Center. They are the oldest. They are the, you know, one of here in Pensacola. There's a couple of others that they're networked with across the Southeast, but, you know, they're the only one in Pensacola. They've been here since 1995, you know, for 31 years, celebrating this year, originally in the Eastgate Shopping Center, now on Creighton, and often imitated, but never duplicated. And basically, their premise is simple. We're just going to take care of people. We're going to do it right. We're going to, if you want to be left alone, we're going to leave you alone. You know, you come in and somebody's going to come and, you know, say, hey, can I help you? You're like, no, leave me alone. Okay, fine, no problem. You know, they're not going to harass you, not going to chase you out the parking lot, you know, like often is the case. But they're just going to give you a huge selection, best selection in town for mattresses, best service in town. They want to make sure you're happy and not just like once you get it out the door, but making sure follow up and check with you. And, you know, they've got a better rest guarantee for 30 days. They got a return policy for up to 60 days, you know, for in-store credit. They want to make sure you're happy. And the way they make sure you're happy by providing those guarantees is asking you questions and finding out how do you sleep? What do you like? Hard or soft? Do you want air conditioning? You know, mattresses are some amazing things they do now. Do you like the memory foam? Do you not like the memory foam? Because some love it. It's not for me. Okay, if I were doing a mattress, I'd do like maybe a hybrid one with coils and memory foam, but I don't love the way it cradles me and kind of holds me in place. I like to move around at night. But other people love it. I mean, really, really love it. And the point is, they're going to find out what will be good for you, and you can make a decision at your own pace whenever you're ready. They just want to make sure to be there for you. And best price, you know, best price in Pensacola. The Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
No person needs to pursue pride. Carnal pride is the natural resting place of a person's heart. In contrast, 1 Peter 5:6 calls people to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Notice that the task to pursue humility is given to us. It says, humble yourselves. So what's your plan to humble yourself? I suggest that plan should begin with the phrase, under the mighty hand of God. What good thing do you have that you didn't receive from God's mighty hand? The answer is nothing. Humility begins with the realization that every positive thing I am and every good thing that I have is all because of God's lavish grace through the provision of His mighty hand. Pursuing humility starts with praising God. Be sure to take time to humbly adore Jesus for His grace in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
February 11, 1920, in Pensacola East Side neighborhood. Attended school developed by his mother, Miss Lily James. He later graduated from Booker T. Washington High School and enrolled in Tuskegee Institute, where General James was the first African-American four-star officer in the armed forces. He was a decorated fighter pilot who earned his Army Corps wings in 1943 at Tuskegee Army Airfield, where he trained pilots for all-black 99 Pursuit Squadron during World War II. General James flew 101 combat missions in Korea and 78 missions in Vietnam.
There you go, and it is his birthday today. If he had been alive, this would have been 106 years young for General James. So today has been proclaimed as Chappie James Jr. Day. That's looming May at the County Commission meeting on Thursday.
Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of County Commissioners of Escambia County, Florida, hereby proclaims February 11th, 2026, as General Chappie James Day. Thank you, Dr. Bennett.
So it's Chappie James Day, it's 211 Day, a lot of stuff going on today, including David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. An American figure skater in the hunt for an Olympic gold medal, U.S. figure skater Ilya Malinin, known as
Ilya.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Ilya Malinin, known as the Quad God, finished first in the men's short program Tuesday in Milan. The men's free skate Friday will decide the medals.
He is ridiculously good. This is the kid that was a little tired at the end of his first performance, and but he does a backflip which was prohibited for a while. But a couple of quads, all the high competitors do a couple of quads, but he was crazy good.
I'm tired just hearing about his. That's insane.
Oh yeah, ridiculous. And most everybody else had a stumble or a fall. There might have been one or two that did not, and he didn't. And a lot of times that's the difference. Is if you just don't fall, you know, but yeah, he's fantastic. This is the blonde kid from the U.S.
Absolutely. Police still searching for suspects in the alleged kidnapping of Nancy Guthrie. One person had been detained in question but was released this morning. And Canadian authorities say 10 people have died after a school shooting in British Columbia. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police say the death toll in that shooting yesterday includes the suspect. Authorities say over 25 people were injured.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 723 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, somebody had texted me in that Fernie Hill property over there on Lakeview and 12th, that they had been inside for the, like, they were having, you know, an auction for the property inside or a, you know, estate sale, and said the inside of that house is absolutely amazing. It's artwork in architecture. It's really sad to see this property get torn down. And like the mayor was saying, there's just nothing we can do, which is, you know, it's just, you know, I understand. It's a loss of something, and it's unfortunate. Let's see, 724 News Radio 92.3. Oh, I have the new insult. Ready, John?
Yes.
This is the new insult for a modern culture. Did AI write that?
Oh,
sick burn, bro.
No, I bet your mama did.
Because when people write in such a way that it's, you know, not great, the insult, the way of describing that as bad writing is not to say, well, that's bad writing, or you write like a college freshman, but to say, you know, you sound like a bot. What a great insult. That's the new insult. That's the new shade, is to ask somebody, hey, did AI write that?
Did AI write that?
Saying, it's basically saying that the content lacks intelligence, originality, and credibility, and isn't worth engaging in or trusting. You don't sound human enough. It feels soulless. All the things that are true when AI writes something, right? Oh, man. You know, I think you got to do it, though, in the Urkel voice. Did AI write that? No.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. I appreciate that. You know, it. So now, apparently, here's the funny part. People are deliberately inserting errors and, for example, commas instead of the dashes into their writing as a way of demonstrating that it's written by a human and not by AI.
Why didn't we have that when I was in college? You know, my commas and dashes, and they're like, oh, that's wrong, big red pen.
Yeah, and now
like,
it's...
No, I wrote it.
So in some circles, like on the dating apps, if you have a description of yourself that's flawless, people don't trust it. You know, historically, if it had mistakes, they look down on you for being the kind of person that makes grammar mistakes.
Yeah.
Now, if it has mistakes, it's a way of proving that you're a person that you actually wrote it yourself, you care enough to write your own vows kind of thing. The world's insane. But I will say this, before we – actually, John's got traffic on the files. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, John, because I got something else to do.
Uh-oh. Brought to you by Culver's. Try the Club Chicken Sandwich and sign up for the Welcome to Delicious app. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, and Milton. Culver's, Welcome to Delicious. Still accident-free right now if you're on Highway 90 coming into Pensacola. Going to see about a 10-minute delay in that area. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Through that construction zone, seeing a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Here was my question that I had to ask myself last night as I was reading this story. Would I ever marry somebody who used AI instead of writing things themselves? No. I mean, no. My wife is extraordinarily smart. That's why that's where I'm at with this stuff, is I'm thinking there's people and then there's people who use the AI. And like, what if somebody used AI to write their vows, which people are doing? You know, what if some?
I'll just put commas in it. So,
what if somebody uses AI to write their love notes? What if, you know, or their cards or their whatever? Write a poem that they're going to do for you. Aww. Ah, so gnarly. Anyway, but that is where we're at. Okay, so I got a different story for you. This is, you know, somebody's going to text me, you know, hate messages. How dare you? Well, okay, fine. Okay, this was my favorite story of the day yesterday. This is my, oh my God, this is amazing kind of story. You ready for this? The Coast Guard has a new kind of watercraft. The tactical personal watercraft. Tactical jet skis.
Was that written by AI?
No, this is a real thing. It's at Task and Purpose, a really good military website. So the Coast Guard has been busy carrying out all these drug seizures, and of course other agencies are, you know, destroying the drugs. But what they were just spotted practicing on, this is, I thought it was in San Diego is where I have it in my head, was they're basically practicing maneuvers near the beach, the U.S.-Mexico border, with jet skis, black jet skis, tactical jet skis, personal maritime vehicles they're calling them, or tactical personal watercraft, part of the Coast Guard's Office of Rapid Response and Prototyping, or CG Raptor is the acronym for that. It's part of... And of course, Navy Special Warfare Command, you know, the SEALs have been using things like this for a while. Apparently, we're not the only country to try this. Iran has also been trying this, and they deploy them with weapons on them. So think of a technical, which is like a pickup truck with a 50 cal in the back or a machine gun. The Iranians are deploying technical jet skis. Like, it's a whole crazy world. We're not really focused on the armed ones. We're focused on using them for interdiction, you know, basically to swarm in and control a boat, you know? So here's my thought, okay? Correct me if I think we need a name for this, but here's my thought. The Air Force has the Thunderbirds, right? The Navy obviously has the Blue Angels. The Army has the Golden Knights, the paratroopers. And now the Coast Guard has the blank, the tactical jet ski demonstration team. That they can go around at water events and they can show you what they do. I came up with some names. I don't love any of them yet, so this is an opportunity for you. The Black Skis, because they're black, and Coasties Skis, okay? The Black Guards? Coast Guard? No? Told you. The Black Jets? Okay, you ready? This is my favorite one, although I still don't love it. The Blackfish. No, John, you don't love it. All right, fine. You got a better one?
No, I don't.
But you love the idea, right?
Orange skis or something.
I will say this. For years and years and years, the Coast Guard has struggled with the idea that there's sort of real military and then also the Coast Guard. I'm not sure that jet skis was the way to remedy that perception gap.
True.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Pima County, Arizona deputies detained a man during a traffic stop south of Tucson, questioning him, then releasing him. Fox's Matt Finn spoke to the man who identified himself as Carlos Melazuelos, who says he delivers packages in the area.
Until right now, all I know is that they show my in-law a picture of somebody wearing a mask or something, mm-hmm. and they supposedly look like my eyes.
More from Matt.
He told us that you know, he wasn't booked. He wasn't processed. They didn't ask him to, you know, come to the station tomorrow or anything like that. I mean, it seems like he was entirely released and is free.
Nancy Guthrie has been missing for 11 days. No flights in or out of the airport in El Paso, Texas for the next 10 days. The FAA cites special security reasons, but didn't give any details. America's listening to Fox News.
.731 at News Radio 92.3. Good morning, I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy, mostly cloudy skies at 62 degrees here around the area. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way here in just a few minutes. UK manufacturer Field International's planning a two-phase expansion, bringing at least 100 jobs and $20 million in investment to the Pensacola area. Florida West CEO Chris Platte telling the city council this week, phase one of that expansion is already underway in the city.
And so phase two will exceed 12 or more as they build that building, add another 50 people, and then probably more equipment as well. So those numbers are pretty conservative for Field. We think that'll be much bigger in the long run.
The company's relocating its UK headquarters to Pensacola and making Pensacola its new world headquarters. Phase one brings in an $8 million investment with equipment and 50 jobs paying over $80,000 per year. Phase two requires a 100,000 to 150,000 square foot facility. They'll add at least another 50 jobs. Platte said the final numbers will likely be even higher. Well, a big crowd gathering at the Santa Rosa Courthouse this week in support of a mother whose child was removed by the Department of Children and Families, Donna Long. She urged investigators to attend the next gathering on April 23rd.
This is very serious. We can't have a government agency of any kind just walking in your house and taking one of your children because they think you may have done something wrong. They did it. They did not have evidence. They did not have what they needed. There was no warrant or anything to remove this child from her home.
And Long said families could be at risk if the county does not take a stand. Well, a 34-year-old Florida man was arrested for a road rage incident where he allegedly pulled a gun on multiple people. Blackie Alvarez of Bonifay facing multiple charges, including aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. That incident happened on Sunday on Highway 331 South near Sherwood Road. Victims told deputies Alvarez sped around them, stopped, took out a firearm, and pointed it. When deputies located him, Alvarez pulled the handgun from his waistband and placed it on his car. He is being held on $235,000 bond. Santa Rosa County Commissioners unanimously agreed on Tuesday to send a letter opposing Senate Bill 948 that deals with local government land development regulations. Commissioner Kerry Smith called the bill a, quote, direct kick and a gut punch to the home rule. The county is joining Gulf Breeze in opposing the legislation. Smith said the state legislature is constantly attacking local control because of problems in Miami. Well, a convicted killer has died after being executed at the Florida State Prison. Ronald Palmer Heath died by lethal injection last night at 6:12. The 64-year-old was put to death for killing a man he and his brother were robbing in Gainesville in 1989. Heath's brother was given a life sentence as part of a plea deal. In his final statement, Heath said he was sorry. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning, David. We've got no accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, seeing an 8-minute delay. Also, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, about a 12-minute delay, and Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile Road, experiencing an 11-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at some patchy, dense fog as you go through the morning hours. Clears out as you head into the afternoon, high near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, we are going to be seeing temperatures drop near 56 degrees after some showers move through. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 69 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 52. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 72. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 57. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And 62 cloudy skies right now. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Mike Gavin with Your Money Now. Investors have their eyes on the delayed January jobs report due in about 10 minutes. Economists aren't expecting it to be a gangbusters month for job growth, with consensus around 50,000 jobs added. Investors and economists will also be keeping an eye on any possible revisions from the previous months. Gold and silver futures each rallied today, with investors assessing the likelihood of Federal Reserve rate cuts as well as geopolitical tensions. Both precious metals continue to recover from their heavy losses at the end of January. Gold is down 9% from its peak, while silver is still some 30% away. Shares of Mattel sank 25% in the after-hours session Tuesday after the toy maker reported a lackluster holiday quarter, which stung all the more because rival Hasbro unveiled much better results earlier in the day and saw its stock rise to its highest point in 6 years. Stocks are pointing slightly higher after a third straight record high for the Dow on Tuesday, finishing at 50,188. That is Your Money Now.
Ladies, join us to be the impact in 2026. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, a women's organization that has given over $18 million to nonprofits right here. Meet other members and hear about the impact our funding has made at meet and mingle sessions through mid-February. Women 18 and older are invited to join us by March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org. That's impact100pensacola.org.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Check out the Mardi Gras fun this weekend. Friday night, rolling at 7, downtown Pensacola will light up with the crew of Lafitte Mardi Gras Illuminated Nighttime Parade. Saturday afternoon, beginning at 2, catch the Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade in downtown Pensacola. And Sunday, it's Mardi Gras Island Style, with the crew of Rex Parade on Pensacola Beach beginning at 2. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Let's talk a little bit about economic investment.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves delivered the State of the City address.
We really have two exciting projects. We were obviously elated to announce.
And News Radio covered it live.
New Palafox. So we are on time and on schedule, right, Adrian? May 24th, this project certainly was an incentivized completion to be done in 5 months. We promised the small business owners.
News. It's what we do. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Very, very happy to share that overall crime from PPD shows a 28.6% drop in crime from 2023 to 2025. So that's over a two-year stretch. I'll give you some of additional numbers over a two-year stretch. We will get all of these numbers to you year by year, 23, 24, 25. Generally speaking, all of them were precipitous decreases. It wasn't high in 23 and then low in 24 and higher in 25. It's been on a great trend line, all of these.
Yeah, consistently improving. The mayor laid that out yesterday during his press conference. All the improvements in the crime data, which is a fantastic thing. This interview today is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy, Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com for more information. David Stafford is the city administrator while D.C. is traveling. David is with us this morning, the city manager, excuse me. David, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. No, city administrator. I had it right the first time, right?
There you go. You got it right the first time. Yeah, thank you.
I got scolded by a good friend who's a city manager and is like, you know, they're different. I'm like, okay, yes, I know. I'm sorry. It's just my brain. Synonyms often occupy the same space in my head. Okay, one of the questions I had for you, David, is I'm getting asked about the A Street and Garden intersection where the construction is going on and the left turn arrow there that is not in operation right now, which I have not driven that recently, but my understanding, I know the mayor talked about it yesterday, is if people want to turn left, there's only two lanes now rather than two plus a turn lane. So left turns are backing all the traffic up and there's no green arrow, so it doesn't flush out very well. I assume this is all temporary until the construction is done, even though it sucks. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I drive through that intersection, if not daily, several times a week. So, yeah, I understand and I'm sympathetic that the lanes have been changing over time and the construction continues, obviously all towards a goal of a better roadway and more stormwater protection. But yeah, my understanding is certainly that intersection is still under construction and all those lane movements are temporary. And again, remember that's an FDOT project, but right. We can certainly confirm that. But my understanding is that it is just a temporary situation there.
And also just to be sure that there's no such rumor out there, we're not building a roundabout there, yeah?
Negative.
Very good. All right. Somebody also asked me about
roundabouts are non-controversial.
Yeah, right. I mean, just mentioning the word sends people into fits and spasms. So Main Street, I'm told, has a lot of potholes and needs work. But I wonder if that's not supposed to come after all the drainage stuff is done and the Joe Patty is all of that. Am I wrong in putting those two pieces together? Do you know anything?
You are not wrong. No, I know they come out and over time we'll fill potholes. Again, that's another road that I travel often. But yes, that will, you know, obviously they don't want to repave it and then continue to have all of the work that's done and then have to do that again. So certainly heard and sympathetic to that. And, you know, again, the end goal is to have a clean up some of that stormwater, improve the roads down there. And again, I think that's going to happen. That repaving will happen once that work is complete.
Got it. Good note. But, you know, for the meantime, it's not a lot of fun. Speaking of roads, sure. Scenic Highway is suddenly a kind of a catastrophe that we're working on fixing. This is an outfall pipe that it broke and there's water under the street. What's happening here? Because I don't feel like I fully understand it. What's going on?
Sure. Well, Florida Department of Transportation reached out to us end of 2025 and said, "Hey, we need to get to this outfall that's over off of Scenic Highway." And just geographically, for those who may not traverse that area, it's just south of Hyde Park Road, just directly across from the Park Place Apartments. I actually walked, met the Florida Department of Transportation officials there, along with our Public Works Director. As well as Councilman Moore, whose district that is, and we met them and actually walked the property. And basically what's happened, there's an outfall that takes water basically from the other side of Scenic Highway and then dumps it out basically along the bluff and eventually obviously heads out into the bay. And that pipe had failed, and what had happened through storms and whatnot, the erosion had started creeping back towards Scenic Highway. And they, you know, said it's critical and they need access to that area. Unfortunately, they did not have an existing easement. You know, as best we can tell, that was just an oversight from, you know, probably decades ago. And so we then began to work on getting that easement. But it's important to note that because there was a question or misunderstanding that the work that they've started, I think on Monday, has to do with the easement. The work that started with the piling the sheet metal in was actually on FDOT right of way. So they had every right to be able to begin and do that. work in anticipation of then the next step. If the city council approves the easement, that they would begin then to do the permanent fix. This was sort of two steps. One is to have an emergency fix to you know, stop the erosion right there at the road.
Very good. We'll look forward to that. I mean, all of these things, you know, various forms of work, most of it involving FDOT, but obviously they're things that people, you know, either encounter or doing work to prevent them having to encounter it in the future. We're talking to David Stafford. He is the city administrator for the city of Pensacola while D.C. is traveling. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Voodoo Barbecue. It's time to taste the magic of Voodoo Barbecue. Cajun style, fall off the bone ribs, pulled pork, the way it's meant to taste. Voodoo Barbecue on 9 Mile Road in the Target Shopping Center. Still rolling accident-free right now. If you are on Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, you're going to see about a 15-minute delay. But other than that, things look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to David Stafford. David, one of the things that, you know, yesterday the mayor announced that you guys have standardized the hours for the parks. One set of rules, sunrise to sundown for any of the regular parks, and then different rules for a couple of the major parks till 10 p.m. or the athletic facilities that are lighted up. Makes perfect sense to me, but it seems like one of the things that we're encountering in Pensacola is for a long time there was sort of patchwork solutions to everything, and this mayor is really emphatic about let's streamline, let's clean, let's standardize, let's, you know, I don't know, revise the land development code that hasn't been done in many, many decades. That's kind of your job, is to implement all of those changes, but also to figure out which ones make sense, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got an excellent staff of you know, department directors and the folks that work under them, but sort of the subject matter experts on this. And as you, I think, know, we recently promoted Tanya Bird to parks director, mm-hmm. Longtime person in the department. And so, you know, when these questions came up, we said, all right, let's take a look at, you know, what are the, you know, the default, as you know, is sunrise to sunset. What are the hours in the parks that are different and why? And then came back with a series of recommendations. Basically, you have sort of two buckets. One is everybody else in the normal sunrise to sunset. And then those, for whatever reason, there's a good reason for them to be open different hours, sort of try to standardize that. And that's that. So that was basically based on the recommendations that came back from the Parks Board after Parks staff, excuse me, after taking a comprehensive look at all of our 90 plus parks.
Yeah, and it makes sense to me. I just thought it was funny how this one's till 9 o'clock, this one's till 7 o'clock, this one starts at 5, that one goes till sundown. You know, they were all just individually done. It was so weird.
And you've heard the mayor talk, you know, repeatedly about sort of, you know, a lot of these things that you know, he's encountered and these sort of one-offs agreements that maybe were a handshake agreement and things like that. So he's done his best to try to put some standardization there while still certainly respecting the need, for instance, in some of these parks where there's an obvious need for them to be open past sunset.
Right. There's a couple of things on the agenda for tomorrow night's meeting that I thought were interesting. One, I expect it to be uncontroversial, but the confirmation of Chief Winstrom to be the chief of police, city council has the final say on that, right?
They do. As you know, under the city charter, all the directors, the department directors, do have to be confirmed by the city council, and under the charter, again, the police chief is considered department director. But I certainly don't expect any problem with that. Obviously, the city council's going to do what the city council does, but several of the sitting members of council actually asked to co-sponsor the item when it came before the it was actually added as an agenda add-on because we didn't think that we were going to do it that quickly, but we moved pretty quickly to get them on the agenda. And so he's certainly had some significant support from the community, to include members of city council. So we're looking forward to Chief Winstrom coming on board and getting to work. Certainly appreciate all the work that Chief Brown has done. She's going to stick around for some overlap as deputy chief while during Chief Winstrom's, you know, early days here.
Yep.
And then he'll, you know, he's scheduled to start the first week of pending confirmation, first week of March.
We're looking forward to that. I'll actually be spending some time tomorrow. I wasn't here for last week to cover it, but some of the stuff he said in the press conference was, I thought, very interesting and very reassuring in terms of, did we make the right decision or not? And I think we really did make a good decision here. There's also an interesting item. Plaza Ferdinand is, I did not realize this, but Plaza Ferdinand is meant to not be used by groups. It's meant to be there for just individuals and spontaneous things, and there's an agenda item tomorrow night to temporarily lift that restriction because of the lack of access to, for example, Palafox during the construction phase. Am I understanding this right? I just didn't realize that was even a thing before, but that's meant to let more groups use Plaza Ferdinand while other spaces might not be available. Is that right?
That's right. That's one of the interesting things that if you actually look in the code of ordinances, there's one specifically that applies to Plaza Ferdinand. Getting back to our previous conversation about sort of standardized, ways that parks are handled. I mean, obviously there's reason, there's a lot of history there in Plaza Ferdinand, and some years ago the city council at the time enacted an ordinance to put some additional sort of rules and guardrails about what can and can't happen there. There was an effort to, this was actually brought forward by Council President Patton, working, I think, with the legal department to say, hey, during this period of time when access to Palafox is limited, obviously with the road being closed, let's look at lifting some of these additional restrictions, at least for some short period of time, to allow the activity, some additional activities that would otherwise under the ordinances not be allowed. Right. So that is the item that's being brought forth again by the council president. I expect some interesting discussion about that.
You have the Malcolm Young Center property getting put in the community land trust. Is that the first? That's not the first property going to the land trust, is it? Or is it?
No, there was three additional properties have come before.
Oh, right,
before.
Right. Those three homes, right.
This will be the largest. Sam from Habitat for Humanity was at the CRA meeting on Monday, and there was robust discussion about it. And again, it passed that first step there at the CRA meeting, So obviously next step is the city council, I think there's excitement about the ability to provide some additional high quality housing intended for lower income individuals with some pretty good protections built in. So that continues on. It doesn't, you have the ability for those to continue to be maintained as low income, sort of in perpetuity, are built in. So there was a lot of work that went into that proposal, I think everybody's excited to get that project moving.
I know the mayor talked about the Fernie Hill home being demolished, but that still has one more step to clear with Architectural Review Board. Is that right?
It does. It does. And that's one of those things, I think, again, you heard the mayor at the press conference, talk about his disappointment that, there's not more that can be done to protect some of these historic homes. But, you're limited in state and local ordinances and state law and local ordinances. But it does have one more stop. I think it's the 19th that goes before the Architectural Review Board. Again, I think their ability to do anything is also somewhat limited, and I think they can delay it for 30 days. I think the idea there is if somebody wants to come in and say, hey, I'd like to buy this, from the existing owner or whatnot. There's some, additional timelines that are built in that permits and have to be issued within a certain period of time. But again, that's a long-winded way of saying, yes, there is one more stop on that and that is before the Architectural Review Board.
Last thing, probably the biggest news of the week. The mayor announced, actually last week, that the airport rotating announcement would no longer be just D.C. Reeves, but would now expand to include, was it Bubba Watson and Emmett Smith? Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's funny. Every time he's anywhere near either airport staff or the or visitors that or you know, business travelers that frequent the airport, he's always very apologetic that they have to continually hear his voice all day, every day. So I think nobody's more excited than he is. But I mean, it's great to be able to highlight, you know, obviously we've got now the one of the stars in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, get Devin Witherspoon in there. Yeah,
that, man. So yeah, it that's great to have just such an embarrassment of riches of folks that call Pensacola home that have gone on to do, you know, huge things, that are willing to come back and support their hometown.
I mean, we have all kinds of athletes, particularly superstars, that we could employ and get their voices on that thing. I'd love to have a, you know, here's who Pensacola is, and here's all the cool people that are from here, musicians, actors, all kinds of, you know, it'd be neat to have all that. David Stafford, he is the city administrator for the city of Pensacola. As always, David, thank you for the work you do. Thank you for the time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for all that you guys do to highlight all the good things that are going on here in the community.
We always try, sir. Thanks so much for the time. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right here. We've got one accident on the books that happened at North W Street and DeSoto Street. So that's going to cause you some major delays. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola again through that construction on Highway 90. We're seeing about a 20-minute delay trying to get you into Pensacola. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians. They hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here. Here on News Radio 92.
Oh, there we go. We're right back in it. 7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. David, well, you know what? I have ZZ Top tickets. Let's give those away. ZZ Top tickets. Yes, sir. That's right. Or yes, ma'am. Whatever. At the Sanger Theater, April 2nd. I've got two tickets for you if you want to go see the legendary band perform. Be caller number three right now. 437-1620. 437-1620.